This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
Hey, this is Kaz, voice of the Denver Nuggets. Good to be back on KFKA, baby.
Colorado State getting a chance to go out and watch scrimmage number two, I believe, yesterday. I was kind of unplugged for a while. Moving, growing a beard out, all of those things kept me pretty distracted. But good to be out there taking in some football action, even though it was 9,000 degrees. Kevin Lytle is joining me now. He is our Colorado State Rams insider. Seriously, nobody does it better when it comes to covering this team backwards and front. So we always appreciate Mr. Lytle joining us. But Kevin, I have a really serious question to ask you first before we get into this, okay?
Yeah, I figured we would start with the biggest stuff.
Yeah. Why do they call it fall camp when it's 9,000 degrees out there?
Yeah, no, that's I've had a few people point that one out too. I call it preseason in my writing. But yeah, it's not fall. It does not feel like fall.
It's not fall.
I feel like I was super dehydrated yesterday. I was just standing there. So
dude, that fall's not even until late September.
Yeah. Dynamite drop in there, Mike. It was uncomfortable out there, Kevin. I mean, for us, like, we're not out there to sweat. These guys are sweating, they're getting used to it, they're fine. But when you're dressed to not sweat, sweating is a terrible thing.
Yeah, it was definitely very toasty out there, that's for sure.
What kind of stood out to you yesterday? These are always tough because you're seeing a lot of situational stuff. You're not, like, actually seeing a full-on game. Like, oh, we're going to scrimmage, yeah, ones and twos, that kind of thing. You're just seeing different situations. And, of course, this thing went a little long yesterday. They decided to run an overtime period. Anything in particular really creep out to you based off of yesterday's scrimmage?
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think people see that and assume it's kind of just a game, but it rarely is, especially in these days. You just hit less and less in camp because you know you're protecting yourselves. You don't want to have your own team injuring your own guys. I think especially yesterday, a lot of situational work. You mentioned sort of the overtime period. They did red zone periods, a bunch of red zone periods, I would say, some 4-minute periods. We got a little bit more ones-on-ones than maybe we'd seen. So that was fun. Certainly a lot of chatter back and forth between those groups. You can see the competitiveness. Yeah, I know everyone's always looking for, you know, who won, quote-unquote. I don't think there's a clear side that was, you know, way better than the other. It's good situational work because Jay Norvell keeps harping on that. You know, that's what a lot of games last year came down to, and you know they reckon and are probably right that it'll be the case this year.
Did yesterday's scrimmage do anything for you in terms of, because I know you were talking to Tanner and Brian the other day on your season, your win total prediction and kind of where you're sitting. When you walked away from Canvas yesterday, did you think that team might be better than I think, or maybe the other way around?
You know, I'm not sure the scrimmage more the conversations with some players after, you know, it was media day, so we got to chat to a lot of different players. And again, everyone, you know, I'm not naive. Everyone is positive in August. Everyone is excited, but especially talking defensive players, there seems to be a very significant buy-in and just an increased level of talent too on this defensive side of the ball. And I think that's your game changer right there. I mean, if Tyson Summers' defense is top or number two, you know, right up there near the top in, you know, turnovers force, that changes the equation for CSU. So again, we'll see. It's hard to tell a little bit. That's one of the funny things in these scrimmages. You know, the quarterbacks obviously cannot get hit, so defense will fly through and they'll be raising their hands saying, "That was a sack, that was a sack." Offense say, "Nope, that was a completion. He got off in time." So it's hard to tell some of those, but if the defense is really good, and I can see a way it could be, that is a game changer.
Yeah, I mean, even like from the start of this thing, when you're seeing the kickoff, you know, the returner looks like the best returner in the history of the world because he's busting through everybody, but they're not allowed to tackle and bring him down. And some of them have the pads and all that stuff too. So, yeah, you have to really be careful. You have to take everything kind of with a grain of salt.
Yeah, absolutely. like I say, you're learning bits and pieces, not a whole picture, I think is the best way to describe what we see right now.
Kevin Lytle joining us from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And Kevin, on the one or two more on the personnel side of things, I mean, we can talk about tight ends and, you know, running backs and what that's going to look like this year for this team, the offensive line, the defense, as you mentioned. But this whole thing, as it has been for the last couple of years, it all comes back to Braden Faller-Nicolosi. This guy has certainly been a popular quarterback. You know, the battles between CU, the comments said, the stuff around the NIL dollars, the K-State connection there. He's certainly been a well-covered quarterback, I should say. But at the end of the day, it all comes back to, can he take that next step and really lead this team forward in this extremely important season?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's kind of a legacy-defining season for BFN. He's about 2,700 yards shy of Garrett Grayson for the all-time passing record at CSU. I believe he's on path for the all-time wins record. I need to double-check that one. But yeah, there are some records that he could break this year, and I think even with that, there's somewhat jury out on him from a lot of fans. Of yeah, he can make some of the big time throws, but is he a superstar? And this is his year to really prove that. You know, I think he's one of, if not the most experienced G5 quarterbacks. There are very few G5s that can keep a starter for 3 years. So that should be good. Jay Norvell said earlier in camp, you know, early on BFN was the skateboard kid running around flipping everyone off, and he dealt with some of that immaturity to wait for the payoff now. So it's time to get that payoff.
Yeah, well, I'm curious to see how he does and kind of who some of these receivers are that will step up. Kevin, I throw my rapid fire questions at you via email on Mondays typically. And one of the things I asked on the player side of it was like the best player on CSU's football roster as of right now. And you got Jaquez Evans, I believe that's how we're saying it. Jay Norvell went out of his way to talk about him too. So it would seem that you're right on point there discussing maybe who looks to be the best player on the team at this point.
Yeah, he should be a really dynamic pass rusher. I think he's more than just a pass rusher too. I think he can do a lot of other things within the defense. But, you know, he had a couple pretty awesome seasons under Tyson Summers at Western Kentucky before injury derailed him at Baylor last year. But he looks good again, and, you know, he said he feels very comfortable in the Summers defense. So, yeah, I think he's a guy that, again, if CSU's going to have a really good year, probably need Donut, as they know him, or as they call him, to have a really strong season. You know, you're talking pretty high sack totals, I think.
Yeah, well, and obviously big shoes to fill. That's been a pretty good position over the years for Colorado State, or at least somebody that's aggressive and getting after the quarterback.
Yeah, definitely. CSU's had a number of good pass rushers, and yeah, they need him to be the next in line there. And again, I'll be a little surprised if he's not, but you never know for sure. But he looks really good. He's a leader type too, I think, knowing the defense. He's, a fifth-year guy now in college, so he's very experienced, too. He's one of those guys that you're going to hear from a lot, both on and off the field.
Kevin, before we let you slide out, man, we're looking at the legal battle between the Pac-12 and the Mountain West, and another lawsuit-type thing is going on between, and CSU is one of those teams, Boise State and Utah State, I believe, having issues with adding Grand Canyon this season. And then claiming that the Mountain West is withholding money from what Boise State earned in the playoffs from the exiting teams. And this is all crazy to me at this point in time, but I would imagine in their contracts, there's stuff that says while you're in the conference, you're owed this amount of money. Same goes for the exit fees and all that. So it just sounds like nobody is living up to what's written down in papers that they signed.
Yeah, definitely. Basically, lawyers on each side are trying to pretty heavily negotiate what all of it means. It's super complicated. Any sort of layperson that sits here and says they know how it's going to come out is lying or disingenuous. I mean, I won't name them, but I saw a column from someone that covers the Mountain West team that basically said, this is a joke of a lawsuit, has zero chance. It's like, well, I have no idea what chance it has, but I don't know how this person would know because I think their lead was, I'm not a lawyer. So that's it's boring and bland, but that's always my answer. I don't know, but people are paid a whole ton of money, and CSU has super high-powered lawyers working on this seem to think there's a fight to be had here. So it's just getting messier and messier.
One of the other things I asked you, too, because you had a chance to catch up with John Weber last week, Kevin, and man, it just, and you answered this, you know, aggression. I said, what's kind of the big takeaway from your chat? And that was the first thing you wrote. And that's what I've been saying, too. Like, he just seems like the complete opposite of Joe Parker. He is very active. They're constantly moving, whether that's in-game promotion stuff, legal stuff, what have you. It seems like he's on top of all of it.
Yeah, it's, you know, I don't mean to turn this into a, you know, a Joe Parker bash, but it's drastically different. You know, Joe Parker rarely spoke, and when he did, it was usually about temper expectations. You know, here are the things we're fighting against and why it's really hard to live in our part of the college sports world, and, you know, sort of, you know, the wet blanket vibe. And John Weber and the others in that admin are very aggressive on their belief in what CSU can do. Now, that also doesn't guarantee success either. You know, you can talk a great game, but there has to be a lot of backing. I think we've seen some successes there, but I think there are some that, you know, TBD to see what's going to be in the future. But just the aggression and belief is just a very, very different tone than what it was under the previous regime.
Yeah, no question about it. Kevin, appreciate you as always. Looking forward to getting you back in studio too for Rams Weekly, where we can sit down for a full hour and discuss not only the on the field stuff each and every week, but being able to follow along with the legal journey between the Mountain West and the Pac-12. So I'm looking forward to it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. It's all happening now.
Yeah. All right, my friend. Good seeing you yesterday, and we'll catch up soon.
Sounds good. Thanks, Brady.
Kevin Lytle, Fort Collins, Colorado. And yeah, because I asked him, I said, who will win the legal battle, the Pac-12 or the Mountain West? And he said, he answered this, unlike a game, it's doubtful there would be a clear winner. My guess is still some type of settlement that both sides can claim as a win. And that's kind of where I'm leaning, honestly, is we're going to get to the point where both sides are probably wrong, and then both sides are going to come out of this saying that they were right. You know, it's to me, it is interesting. It's fascinating, but it's also kind of like, I mean, come on. You guys both agreed to things that maybe potentially you're both not honoring, and you're fighting over that. So we'll see who comes out the other side. Top stories of the day coming up. We've got a Big 12 story. An interesting former Nuggets mascot story coming up as well. Speaking of former Nuggets, Michael Porter Jr. had some really fascinating comments about the gambling world and how players are involved in it. And I want to get to that later on in the show. And more stuff from Jay Norvell at yesterday's scrimmage. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We do it all. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Tune in to KFKA tonight at 5 to hear all about Fort Collins Lambkins football. Brought to you by Backus and Shanker.
This KFKA podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Colorado and one community like Greeley, the place we've called home for years. Family-owned, community-focused banking, Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.